get back to recapping the basketball from last night, and we'll start looking ahead to the basketball tonight, including Virginia Tech down at Winston-Salem, Hokies, and the Demon Deacons. John Lazor will be on the call. He joins us now, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case. And, Lazor, we'll get into some hoops coming up here in just a second, but first, I would love, I know you only spent a year working around him, but I know you want to share your thoughts on Frank Beamer, named to the College Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. And I say this a lot when I talk to people out in public at events and things, but I absolutely mean it behind the scenes. I'm so grateful that I got to spend that year with Coach Beamer as the head coach. Not that I don't see him now, and it was just 1 year that I spent with him, but to see how he ran it, to see how he interacted with people as the head coach, I think that's the only way you truly appreciate Virginia Tech football and Virginia Tech as a whole. So this was an inevitability, obviously, with his accomplishments and who he is. But, you know, just a fantastic thing for him. And as I tweeted out, Hall of Fame people, I was talking about him and his wife and his two kids and everybody else associated with the Beamer family. But there's times in life, Wes, where somebody is built up to be some way, and then you meet them in person, and they don't live up to it. And Frank and his wife, Cheryl, and Shane, and Casey, and everybody else are absolutely the opposite direction.
Okay, take me back here, because I remember when you were going through this process, you were interviewing for the job, they had you go through a list, like you met Mike Burnup and spent some time with him, and you spent some time with Buzz. What was it like to spend a little bit of time with Frank Beamer the first time?
It's the best story ever, because he had no idea who I was, obviously, and his office, which is now Coach Fuente's office, has a receptionist area, and I guess Diana, who was his longtime aide, had stepped out, and there was a fan that was just walking through Merriman Center and had wandered in to try to take a picture, and I guess Coach was in the restroom or something, and came out and said, "Are you the next voice of the Hokies?" to that guy, and then took a picture with him. But so the time that I got there, the bloom was off the rose, and he was a little bit more disinterested. But now we actually just talked about golf for about a half hour, and at the end I asked him one football question. That was about it.
I would have hoped he just came up to you and said, "Hi, son, do you want an autograph?" That would have been even better.
Yeah, if it would have been the other way.
He's all class. John Lazor and Frank Beamer, congratulations to Coach Beamer going in the College Football Hall of Fame. To the current Hokies, let me go to a little football news and notes here before we get to basketball. Ricky Walker announces he's coming back. Tim Settle does not. I think it's a bad idea. I think it's as bad of an idea as Jerod Evans last year. Maybe you can shed some light on this as Tim Settle opts for the draft.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm with you, and I love Tim. He's a phenomenal kid, and I think he was blossoming into becoming a pro-level talent. I just wish he would have stayed for one more year. Yeah, I don't like to publicly come on here and sugarcoat things, and I think that he's going to find his way in the NFL and ultimately do fine, but I think the easier path would have been to stay another year. But, I don't know all the facts, again, just like I didn't with Jerod. Like I said, I haven't talked to Tim, but he was really coming on as a player this year, but I do feel I'm with you. I feel like he needed another.
Can't assess the defense yet, and mainly because you don't know about Tremaine Edmonds. So two-part question. Any sense – Monday's the deadline you've got to declare if you're going early. Any sense about one Edmonds brother? And if it's one Edmonds brother, is it both? I mean, what do you sense there?
Yeah, I've always thought that just for how close they are. I don't have any tangible evidence as to that being the case or having had any conversations. You know, the guys have been gone with the break, and so have the coaches with the dead period and everything else. So, and I've been on the basketball beat with Buzz. So I do believe that if it's one, it's probably the other staying and or going. I don't necessarily know if one will lead the other or vice versa, if it's Terrell's decision and Tremaine's waiting on that or the other way around. I honestly don't know, Wes. I hate to speculate because without talking to these guys, you really just have no idea. I think it's better for Virginia Tech the longer that you don't hear anything out of the Edmonds camp, quite frankly. I think if they had a definitive "we're going" mentality, we probably would have seen that right about the time we saw Tim's announcement.
We will wait, and we will see. Once again, that deadline is, I believe, 4 o'clock on Monday for underclassmen to declare for the NFL draft. John Lazor, Mike Burnup on the call tonight. Wake Forest tonight. So I'm looking at Wake. I haven't watched them this year, but they lose to North Carolina. They lose to Boston College, but they beat Syracuse. and that's a team that beat Virginia Tech. However, I look at Wake, I look at Virginia Tech, and Lays, this is one you should have, this is one you'd like to have, and this is one it feels like it would be a good road win tonight if you can get it.
Yeah, this is one you need to have, and it doesn't really have anything to do with Wake Forest, so I'll get into them in just a second. It's just who you've got after Wake Forest. You know, you're going on the road to Louisville, which no Rick Pitino now, but still a rowdy environment and a team filled with length, which isn't a great matchup for you. And then you have a little bit of a break, but you've got Florida State and North Carolina back-to-back at home, Florida State having beat North Carolina. So Wake Forest, they lose John Collins to the draft. They lose Dinos Mitoglou, who decided to return to Greece to play professionally over there. But what they do have is tremendous speed and tremendous guard play off a lot of ball screen action. And as we know, Virginia Tech, when they've struggled to defend, it's been to struggling to defend the dribble penetration and straight line drives, which is what Wake Forest is going to hit you with. You know, they used to run a ton of single high pick and roll for Collins, understandably, because of the score that he became around the rim. They don't do that nearly as much anymore, but it's going to be a high-scoring game. We've seen this game a number of times since Buzz has been here and Danny Manning has been at Wake. A lot of offense, and it's not necessarily the track meet type of offense. It's just a lot of phenomenal guard play. The average score, I broke it down since Coach has been here, Coach Williams has been here, and Coach Manning has been there, has been roughly 88-86, favoring Virginia Tech, and they're 4-2 in those six meetings. So expect a high-flying offensive game tonight.
I know Buzz wants to see more defense, but when the game is in the 80s, is that when the Hokies are more in their comfort zone? Because I only ask this because I look back at the previous two losses when they're in the 50s, and I go back to, I guess, the Syracuse game where they were in the 50s for that one as well. Now they get to the 80s on Saturday. If the Hokies are in the 80s, are they in a good place?
Generally speaking, yeah. Although Wake Forest can score with them. You know, last year you look at the games they lost. I think it was 90-85 to Wake Forest at home. They beat them 99-90 in the ACC tournament. But, yeah, to your point, absolutely, because you get into that possession drain like you do against Syracuse. It's not necessarily the score range, it's the possession range and their ability to get out and run. Their last victory over Pitt got up to that point. They got to 81, but that game was kind of 60s and 70s, but the pace was more favorable to Virginia Tech. So, yeah, it's more of a possession number thing than it is actual scoring, although one thing generally leads to another. So, yeah, this team's rather going to be in the 80s than they are to be in the 50s for sure.
7 o'clock tonight, John Lazor and Mike Burnup all on the call. Have a good one, buddy. We'll do it again next Wednesday.
All right, my friend. Good to be with you.
You got it. John Lazor joining us, brought to you by Cowan Gates. And let me just throw this in there, our buddy Brandon Cowan. Salisbury Country Club and Cowan Gates Memorial Blood Drive. It is Friday, January 19th. Salisbury Country Club, it goes from 9 until 2. The drive is in memory of friends, family members, neighbors, colleagues, and it's honor of Frank Cowan, the founder of Cowan Gates, who passed away a couple years ago. I've got my spot locked up. You can do it as well. Contact jluck@salisburycountryclub.com. Or you can go to my webpage, foxsportsrichmond.com, to find out more about the Cowan Gates Memorial Blood Drive coming up on Friday, January 19th.